Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
I am exhausted from my appearances at the No Kings rallies over the weekend. I was going from one to another, trying to pop in on as many as possible.
Oh, my.
You know, honestly, I didn't watch any news yesterday, so I watch football. Sundays are for football, right? And I don't do a lot of social media on the weekends. Of course, I knew that this thing was happening. We talked about it last week, and we even put it into St. Louis perspective because there were a lot of things happening downtown on Saturday. And I mentioned that, like, the Missouri Athletic Club sends an email out saying, hey, just be advised that some of this may affect your plans, because you had the band thing, you had the Blues playing at the soccer game, and the No Kings rally. Was it your sense? I mean, did you guys watch coverage? Was there a significant amount of people that came out? There was one image that was from Philadelphia that people were blasting it out over the weekend, and it was like, look at all these people, and it looked like, holy crap, there's like a million people there. But that was like from the Women's March 3 years ago.
Oh,
so,
really?
Oh, yeah. So you got to be careful about what you're seeing.
One.
Oh, yeah. That was from the Women's March in 21, right? So 4 years ago. But Sue, did you notice, were there people? I mean, it seems like everybody that showed up, what was it that Paul Morrow said? Everyone was white and over 65, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's all the guilty people that, you know, I always kind of offered up this way. Whenever you're driving in downtown Webster Groves, right there at the corner of Elm and Lockwood, and there's that church right there, all the guilty white people stand out there with their BLM signs. And that's essentially what you got. Now, Trump responding to No Kings earlier today.
You know, they're saying, they're referring to me as a king. I'm not a king.
Right. No, but just so that Chuck Schumer could go and say, I'm fighting Trump.
Yeah, well, Chuck is, you know, at the end of the line. He's being beaten by everybody that they poll against him. And, you know, what he did is he did the right thing a couple of years ago on something like this. And he got hurt by his party. And it doesn't, I don't think it matters to him. I think he's just so dead that he'll do anything.
Chucky Schumer. I don't know. Does it have? I don't even know what the No Kings thing means. I really don't.
Do they think he wants to be a king?
Yeah, because at one point he said that, right? Because he was joking, like the Charlottesville
people
thing. But you really, I think you have to be pretty bored. You know, I was tooling through Facebook because I was trying to find some more stuff on this Rennie Knott situation. And I saw a couple of people who are friends, and I don't really care what they're, these are more movie type friends when I was a film critic, posting their signs out there from No Kings. And you do whatever you want. You do you, boo, right? But what's the point of it all? I mean, I guess, what are they upset about in particular? The authoritarian nature. Oh, here's one. I know what it is. People are being disappeared, right? Mm-hmm. There's not one person who's going on the media or who attended that rally here in St. Louis who knows anyone who's been disappeared. Okay, they don't. They're making it up because no one's being disappeared. Are there people that are being dragged in because they're, you know, criminals? Yes, there are. It's so funny because every time the left wants to make someone their poster child for ICE, you know, picking up the wrong person, it always backfires on them. It really does. And they like to say things on all the different appearances about people being disappeared. They don't know anyone. They don't even know what it means. They just keep, you know, following the rhetoric that they're led into by the talking heads on television. Okay, we got Sue's News coming up here. We'll have Jen Say at the bottom of the hour, Cusimano a little bit later, my friend John Ziegler after 4 o'clock. But this is maybe one of my favorite stories just because it's so weird. So this is in our local paper. I don't know if you guys saw this. A man who police say had night vision goggles, bolt cutters, and a garage door mimicking device has been arrested in connection to the theft of at least 6 golf carts from two St. Louis neighborhoods. Yeah. So this guy's name is Blake Detter. He's 42. He lives on McNair in the McKinley Heights neighborhood. He's now been charged with 6 felony counts of tampering with a vehicle, 2 felony counts of resisting arrest, and 1 felony count of an unlawful use of a weapon. According to court documents, the charges against Detter stem from a number of recent golf cart thefts in the Soulard and Benton Park neighborhoods. These occurred between October 11th and October 17th. Detter was spotted driving a stolen golf cart. So initially, this is where you have the resisting arrest charge that comes in. He evaded police and he fled into a home. They say officers waited for Detter to leave the home, which he eventually did. When officers approached him, they say Detter pulled out a gun and took a defensive position behind something and then tried to flee a second time. That's a good way to get yourself shot dead, Mr. Detter, right? And then all we'd have in the post is a story about, you know, a white cop that was killing someone. Unless he was white. Mr. Detter might be white. That might be a disadvantage to the narrative there, so that wouldn't work. After his arrest, authorities say they found a loaded firearm and multiple burglary-related tools in his possession. What is a remote door mimicking device?
I think it catches the signal
and then can open your
garage door. Okay. But I don't know how that works. We can ask George Rosenthal.
Night vision goggles, a lock picking kit. Who doesn't have one of those?
I mean, we've seen it
on the Rockford Files,
so
going back
true.
To the 70s. You got to have a lock picking kit. Bolt cutters and several golf cart master keys. So they go to his house and they five. I mean, this dude was very focused on one item.
You
got to give him a little credit for that.
Maybe he was trying to open a golf course.
Maybe, because that's all he wanted was golf carts. He did have multiple guns and some cash. They suspect that it's from the sale of stolen golf carts. Look, these things are popular in neighborhoods, right? And they're not cheap.
And, there's a thing going on about whether they're legal and kind of a crackdown. Did you see that story about that, especially somewhere in the city,
like
a neighborhood?
Oh.
Yeah, because they just drive them around
right.
like it's a vehicle, like going through stop signs and making turns, and people aren't licensed.
I see them in St. Louis Hills a lot, like in the Francis Park area.
Right.
Yeah, in
but
Kirkwood.
Think about it. Like, if the guy, I don't know what he was doing, but you could probably flip something like that on Facebook Marketplace. And if it's
you probably could.
Even if you're getting 5, you know, you're going to get a fair amount of money if it works and if it's in good shape, right? No one would ask. But he was a dumb criminal, so he got caught. And I guess there have been a lot of golf carts. I'm not sure he's the only one, because they say it was a surge in golf cart threats or, you know, experiences in the Soulard area. So I guess it's something that's been heating up. And then, did I have one more piece of audio that I wanted to play here? Oh, KJP. Is she hawking a book, Fred?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's another one that's got a book out there, right? Because we found that out a couple of months ago. This was on CBS.
Right.
Is that right? So she's doing
CBS
an interview
Mornings. On
CBS Mornings talking about Biden and why she didn't realize that he was basically drooling on himself 24 hours a day.
You said you're a member of the inner circle and you never saw the decline. And after that, I wrote, how?
Yeah.
You even write, Corrine, that you were on the plane with him going to the debate and you didn't see anything.
Well, when
so
we were
hard
when we were
to
on Air Force One going to the debate, you got to remember that his campaign people were on the team, his family was on the team. I actually was one of those rare trips that I didn't really see him until after the debate, even though I was on the plane. So really, I want everybody to know that I take this question incredibly seriously.
Okay, let's just stop right there. First of all, the debate and what happened that night was the culmination of years of Sleepy Joe's behavior. And by the way, some of it had just occurred, and some of it, in France in particular, was so obvious, and KJP was the one that was at the podium mocking the rest of us for saying,
correct,
hey, it is kind of, remember the cheap fakes, right? Oh, no, if you see the whole video, you can see that he wasn't walking away from the German chant. Well, of course, yes, he was.
Yes. And remember that phrase, what was the phrase she would always use? Let me be serious. Let me be clear.
Yeah, let me be clear.
Let me be clear.
So she's being clear right here.
I do. I was his White House press secretary, which means I had a role that saw him practically every day and traveled with him.
And you saw nothing.
For more than 95%. We've always said, we're not going to say, oh, he didn't age. He aged. And he poked fun at it. We always owned up. And with age comes what happens when you get older.
Which is?
But when we talk about the...
A guy that was not able to do the job. That's what existed. I mean, that's exactly what happened, right?
Mental acuity. And again, I take this very, very seriously. I never saw anyone who wasn't there. I saw someone who was always engaged. I saw someone who understood policy, pushed us on the policy, and also understood history.
Well, I don't believe that. And if it's true, if that is true, then she was kept well away from the president. Now, of course, part of her narrative in the book is she's ripping on Democrats.
I'm telling a story, obviously, my story, and how I started thinking about the Democratic Party and my involvement in it. And then fast forward to today, the disappointment, the disillusionment that millions of people have.
I think the next 18 months are really going to be fascinating. And I say that sincerely, because you have Mamdani's going to be elected here in the next couple of weeks. You don't have any indication that the extreme fringe of the left-wing party is going to bring anyone back to the middle, because they're not wavering from their points about trans athletes or any of this other stuff. Now, the economy is going to play a big role, right? We don't know where the economy is going to be in a year, but let's face it. There were already people in the winter that were predicting recession for 2026. So that doesn't appear to be something happening. There's some, I've always said this too, just being honest about some of the economic numbers that are rumbling out there. I don't think everything is firing on all cylinders right now, and there are some warning signs, but overall, I don't think we have an indication that we're going to go into recession territory. But what I mean is, from the Democrat standpoint, typically, again, you know, you have the midterms that will fall in the favor of the party that's not in power. So that's the conventional wisdom. Now, Trump's getting ahead of that a little bit because he's trying to do this redistricting. But the House in particular will be very, very narrow. I'm hearing at this point, we should probably spend a little time on the Senate map with one of our good experts, Fred. But I think the Senate is going to be, I don't want to say safe, you never want to say safe, but certainly the Republicans are more confident. But the House majorities are so narrow, especially in those New York and the California districts. But going back to my original comment, will anyone besides John Fetterman admit like the fairness issue on women's sports and some of these other things that people are way, way out there on the left, will anyone be able to bring them back to the center? I've said that Rahm Emanuel is probably that guy. He's going to keep trying to be that guy, but I don't know that there's room in the party for him. So we'll see where this takes us. And there's nothing easy for Republicans either. I'm not predicting they're going to, you know, wipe away the Democrats next year, because there's a lot on the line. And they're
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot. one of the stories that we covered last week related to the trans issue. We had Jamie Reed on, the whistleblower from WashU, because John Oliver had gone on his show the week before that and just ripped, you know, Jamie Reed in a very unfair and inappropriate way. Our friend Jen Say from XXXY Athletics, who, by the way, got a real interesting write-up in Inc. magazine, which is not like negative. It's almost semi-positive.
What?
It's a little shocking. So we'll get to Jen here at the bottom of the hour. Frank Cusimano, right around 450.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News, presented by U.S. Men's Medical Center.
I shocked Ethan by saying that in the summer, I like to keep the house at 78. That's, of course, when Michael's not home, but...
Okay, to be fair, originally I didn't hear summer. I just thought you meant all the time.
Oh, no, no.
So that kind of threw me off.
Yeah.
That's a little more understandable during the summer.
Yeah. But it seems like a huge
feels a little high to me
to
still.
That's a high. 78 is where you set the thermostat?
If it's just me.
Really?
I will be happy at 78.
At night?
Oh, no, at night it's got to go down. Oh,
okay, all right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
At that point, though, you may as well just turn it off and... let it roll.
Oh, no, no. It gets really hot really fast. The 80s are uncomfortable.
I'm uncomfortable 78 and above.
Yeah, that's
fair. I can do 77 because, like, that's why sometimes lately I've been turning the air on during the day and then, you know, just cutting it out at 6 o'clock when the cool air starts moving. But it's so funny because Fred's been to my house, but you guys haven't. You're invited anytime if you want to loot. But my basement is sometimes 15 degrees cooler than the upstairs.
Well, see, that's just it, right?
Yeah, because I have the patio door open downstairs, and then I come up, and it's like, man, it's sticky up here.
Oh, poof. Happy National Day on Writing. Now, why does it say Day on Writing? Why wouldn't it be National Writing Day? But I
that's
looked at
poorly written.
Thank you.
Yeah, what?
And I thought maybe there's another one that's National Writing Day, so these people are different. I don't know. And it's National Chicken and Waffles Day, which I've never had.
Me neither.
Have you, Mark?
I have. Oh, yeah.
Is that a Vegas thing?
No, I've had it at like a, I've had it a couple times, though. I had it at the Jonas Brothers restaurant. I can't remember what that was called.
Oh,
it was
the
good.
Joe Bros.
What? Yeah.
What about you, Fred?
I haven't, but I like them both.
Is it fried chicken? What kind of chicken?
Yeah, it's fried.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's fried. Okay. And National Clean Your Virtual Desktop Day, people. Come on. That's right.
Fred's looking very confused.
What's a virtual desktop?
Like your computer desktop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, computer desktop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not the one.
And I can attest.
Uh-oh.
Fred's
Stop.
Needs a serious cleaning.
Oh, Fred. Oh, no.
You mean a dusting or just the whole office?
No. Like you could use
clean
a whole.
Save things off the.
Yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Let me just put it this way.
What did you think I was talking about?
His actual desk.
Yeah.
I meant all the files.
Oh, okay.
If Fred is somehow indicted and they have to retrieve his computer, it will take years for them to go through all the forensics on the computer. I think that's fair to say, right?
Yeah. I'm a collector.
He is. He's our show collector. On this day in history, 63 years ago in 1962, this was the number one song. It's kind of Halloween-y.
Kinda Halloween-y. Are you just doing that for the clue for me?
Yeah,
so I knew which one to
exactly
hit?
That's exactly right.
That's what I thought. Because there are a couple other songs in here.
I was working in the lab late one night.
I do love the video to this.
Right?
With,
an eerie sight.
Bobby Sherman, right? Isn't that it?
Oh, I don't know.
What, who's
who sings
this?
It? Bobby Boris Pickett.
Bobby Pickett, that's it. Bobby Boris Pickett, yeah.
He did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash.
The fact that this hit number one on the charts still blows my mind. Did I just drop the bell?
I think you
did. For a minute, I thought Fred was getting it.
Down goes the bell. Ding, ding, ding.
For a minute, I thought, well, that was nice of Fred to hit the bell. Oh, no, it was me knocking it off. That made it to number one, which, okay. My brother had this as a 45, and he did not get it in 1962, but he played the crap out of it eventually and drove me completely insane. Welcome to 63 years ago today. Then, 52 years ago today, we've gone from 1962 to 73, and this song was number one.
By the Rolling Stones. I was trying to hit the post.
Angel.
There we go.
Angel.
Why does he say it so weird?
Angel.
Because he's English and he's Mick Jagger. He can say anything he wants.
Angel.
That's a good song, though.
Well, it hit number one on the Hot 100, and it knocked Cher's Half Breed to number two. I don't know if that's even politically correct anymore.
No, probably not.
Cher is out as far as that goes. I was going to talk about the Dodgers in the World Series just because Shohei Ohtani had such an incredible game.
The best game ever.
I mean, it's got to be history, isn't it, for the best game ever? Oh. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 3 home runs, 6 innings pitched, 10 strikeouts. I mean, it's unbelievable. There's only so many words to bring up about it.
Three tape measure shots.
Yeah, no, they're all bombs.
Right? Let's listen. I've got a little bit of sound.
Must we?
Well, sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah.
High fly ball to right. Pajes. He is there. He's got it. And the ball game is over. And the Los Angeles Dodgers have won the National League pennant. They sweep the Brewers. The greatest night of baseball by an individual player in the history of this game. Shohei Ohtani. 3 homers. And a victory on the mound with 10 strikeouts.
I mean, it really is amazing.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It is. Now, you know, we got a game 7 tonight, which is always fun between the Blue Jays and
Mariners.
Mariners. I'm going for Mariners. Yeah. Blue Jays are tough, though.
I want the Mariners.
Ethan?
I want the Mariners, but it's tough. Game 7 at home. That is a tough. That crowd's going to be loud. It's going to be tough to do.
It is. It is.
And then the World Series starts on Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know how anyone's beating the Dodgers.
If Seattle wins, does that give the Dodgers the home field? Or do you know?
Yes.
Yeah. If Toronto wins, they would have home field.
Correct. Okay. This is correct.
That's what I thought.
And then 2 Monday night football games tonight.
Yeah, right.
We've got the Lions and the Bucks, and then Seattle Seahawks and the Texans.
And thank you again for asking about my fantasy football team.
Both teams
fell apart over the weekend. I was just terrible.
For those that are not watching and are just listening, I am saluting you because...
Yeah. I'm done. I think I'm toast
rest
already.
In peace to your fantasy football
team. Jaden Daniels is you know, hurt again. But again, Sue, I always appreciate you asking.
Go ahead. You're so welcome about that. Okay, the shoe company on Cloud... Mm-hmm. is facing a class action lawsuit.
These are Fred Shoes.
And this is Fred Shoes, yes. So I'm bringing this up.
Is it because the laces don't always stay tied?
No.
I'm going to file that.
Sorry, Fred.
Okay.
Customers have been complaining because their Cloud shoes supposedly won't stop squeaking as you walk, and they find it embarrassing. Here's what the squeaking sounds like.
You don't have that issue?
It.
No.
Oh, we have the audio.
You know, this would explain something. I thought I heard something earlier today, and I was like, "What is that noise?"
Do you really have the problem?
No.
So I have a pair of shoes that I don't wear anymore. I used to wear them a lot more when we had a little bit more of a dressier situation, and maybe I could have got them fixed, but they drove me nuts because when I was walking on the hard surfaces, it didn't really happen on the carpeting. It squeak.
I know.
It's
terrible. And I want to talk about the jewelry robbery at the Louvre yesterday. 9:30 in the morning, they break into an area with some of the equipment used for renovations, and they made it off with a whole bunch of jewelry. They found some later, and they escaped on scooters because, of course, it's Paris.
They were wearing construction vests.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's... So we'll see. And some of that jewelry was from Napoleon's time. Yeah, so we'll see if they get them. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. At least 70% of the world has brown eyes. Only 2% have green eyes.
Huh.
I don't know what blue. I'm brown. Fred?
I'm brown.
Brown.
Okay.
There we go. Confirmed as a random fact. Jen Say from XXXY Athletics. Coming up.
Then you can monster mash. The monster mash.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Sue, our friend Jen Say from XXXY Athletics got a relatively positive write-up in a magazine, an Inc. magazine.
Wow.
So a mainstream, somewhat mainstream publication did a piece that wasn't like a hit piece on someone that is kind of on our side of certainly the women's sports issue and beyond. And she's with us this afternoon, Jen Say, who was featured with some fine pictures in this particular piece. Were you a little surprised that it was maybe fair, Jen?
I wanted to believe that it was going to be. I've been talking, I think I've done 4 or 5 interviews with her. We started almost 9 months ago. I wanted to believe that it was going to be, but I'm always a little gun shy, but I rolled the dice and I thought it's really important to have this issue talked about in mainstream publications and not have it just sort of relegated to what is considered, you know, right-wing publications. And I think it was a really positive piece. I think she covered the issue totally fairly. I think she reflected our business and the successes we've had so far, you know, not just from a business perspective, but in impacting the movement. I thought she was totally fair. I'm very happy with it. I was up at 4 a.m. totally nervous, knowing it was going to drop. I had about 5 cups of coffee by the time it dropped 3 hours later. But I think the reporter, Allie Donaldson, did a great job.
So you had not received an advanced copy before it was...
No.
That's interesting, right? Yeah, that would make me nervous as well. Look, it makes me nervous, just anyone like yourself or anyone maybe who's on the same side of some of these issues, to do an interview with anyone in the mainstream media, because on this issue, as you know, in particular, it's hard to trust them. What made you do this interview? Because I think it would even be something that would give most people pause on these topics.
Yeah, I mean, the magazine, it's called Inc. Magazine. It's a business publication, completely not politically affiliated in any way. It focuses on startups and entrepreneurs. And they've written great pieces in the past. I'd read many of the pieces that the journalists had written. She seemed very open to our message. So much of the interview was really about the kind of business, the foundational business, you know, the financials and all of that. And I felt like we had a real shot at being treated fairly, but I gotta tell you, I almost didn't care if we weren't, because it has to start with agreeing to talk to people, in the mainstream. We can't just stay in our little, you know, on our side. We have to talk to people. We have to get our message out. We have to reflect that message as best we can. And I think I did that, because that's how it happens. You know, if we just stay in our little circle, then you don't reach new people. And so I just thought it was really important to do it regardless of, how she chose to do it. And it was totally fair. I mean, even the headline, where, you know, she says that our critics call us transphobic,
right,
but she didn't call us that. And that's a pretty important distinction. You know, she said XXXY Athletics is on a mission to save women's sports. True. Critics say it is cashing in on the anti-trans movement. So she didn't say that we were. She said that's what our critics say, which is absolutely true. And you mentioned the photos, which I think are quite flattering. And you know as well as I do that if they want to make you look bad,
yeah,
they make you look
they will.
Sort of
they
evil.
Will. Yeah.
And I think she made, they're all of me and our product, but I think they made me look proud. And so I'm very happy. I think it was a very fair assessment. She challenged me in several of the interviews, and I'm totally fine with that. I think that when people hear from us, they hear the facts. And so it's important we get the facts out there.
Right.
You know?
And that's one of the reasons. Right. And that's one of the reasons I like having conversations with you. Now, one of the things, and maybe the only thing that you took issue with, was something that Charlie Baker, the head of the NCAA, said, and you hear this repeated quite a bit when it comes to the trans activism, that there's only 10 trans athletes in the entire NCAA. You're calling, you're throwing the red challenge flag on that one for sure, right?
I absolutely call. I don't know how many there are. I'll admit that. But my understanding is, I mean, right now I can count nearly that many in competing in the NCAA. And I know there are more with DSDs, differences in sex development, that aren't necessarily trans-identified males. But our issue is with males competing in women's sports. I don't care why. You know, Imani Khalif from the Olympics this past summer, he isn't trans. He has a DSD.
Right.
So
right.
I know within the NCAA there are absolutely more than that. But he said it, I think, in congressional testimony, and it gets repeated as fact. But the fact is athletes compete outside the NCAA. In high school sports, we know there are way more than that. In club sports, and we know in the Olympic movement in the last 20 years, there have been 60 males in track and field alone. So, and you know what? One is too many. We wouldn't accept one athlete taking performance-enhancing drugs, so why should we accept one male in women's sports when that confers greater advantage than performance-enhancing drugs? So I don't, the 10 number isn't right, and I don't think that just because he said it, we should accept that.
So last week I was driving home, I think it might have been on Thursday night, and I flipped Fox on and I heard Laura Ingraham talking about Will Thomas, who was being honored at the Voice of Inspiration Award that the Dodgers were sponsoring. Now, this got zero mainstream attention, but here you have Will, or Leah Thomas, in a dress being honored as a woman of inspiration last week in an event that was sponsored not only by the Dodgers but other sports franchises in the LA area. Very silent national media coverage of that, but wow.
Yeah, I can't believe we're still doing this, that he is being honored as, and it's an LGBT award ceremony, I think. So I guess not altogether surprising. He's been a bit out of the public eye, though he did lose his legal challenge to be able to compete in the Olympic trials in the Olympics last year. Yeah, it isn't brave or courageous to be a man and compete in women's sports. It's cheating. So I'm not sure why we would honor someone for cheating. We wouldn't honor someone for taking performance-enhancing drugs. But here we are. And, you know, it's not surprising that this organization honored a man with this award. What is surprising is that the Dodgers...
Yes, that part of it.
...were the presenting sponsors.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and then there's this. And I had Jamie Reed to respond last week. I know you have some thoughts about this. John Oliver spouting off.
The state AG apparently found that article, to borrow a term, riveting, because they soon announced an investigation into the center, and it ultimately stopped treating minors, with Reed's claims even being used to help justify a statewide ban on gender-affirming care for them. So it did have real impact, which is what makes it so awkward. When Washington University conducted its own investigation, they found that allegations of substandard care causing adverse outcomes for patients at the center were unsubstantiated.
Okay, well, he goes on and on. Jamie corrected the facts on this. I mean, it's a bunch of nonsense. You know, I would say here we go again with something like this. You would think that we're at this point in the conversation where John Oliver couldn't go on there and, you know, make some of the claims that he has. But obviously, folks like you, Jamie, Riley Gaines, not backing down from any of that nonsense and really firing back very appropriately last week.
Well, to be clear, I think the whole thing was meant to be a knock on Barry Weiss.
Exactly.
If I'm not mistaken.
No, that's right. It was a backhanded way to take a shot at Barry, because it was Jamie Reed who wrote the piece that was originally, look, I say ground zero here in St. Louis, because that was in the FP originally several years ago. Yes.
Yes. And this is a woman, for your listeners that don't know, one, she has been on the left her whole life. I'm not sure how she identifies now. She's a lesbian. She was married to a trans-identified woman who actually has now
detransitioned. That's right.
I mean, they didn't take any of it. Obviously, Jamie knows the facts of it better than I do. It's her story. But didn't take any of it. Didn't take anything she said and analyze it. They just smear her in order to smear Barry. And this is a woman who has risked her career, her reputation, to protect children. And she's reported on what she saw happening in these youth gender clinics and how little care was given to these children to make life-altering decisions. It was just one big smear. They just call you names, and they don't kind of look at this woman's life honestly. And it's all in service, like I said, of smearing Barry for taking over at CBS News. I think the whole thing was just a joke. I think he's a joke. He's not funny. I did used to think I never actually.
I never thought he was funny. I never thought he was funny. Right.
He always irritated me. I did used to think Colbert was funny, but he hasn't been funny in a long time. So it's just, I can't believe they're still spinning on this.
Well, because look, as you know, Jen, better than anyone, it would be one thing if Jamie Reed was the only person out there making these allegations. But ever since that was published in the Free Press, there has been vindication after vindication globally, in this country and beyond, and they still want to act like none of that happened the last few years, and they can get away with it because he can spread all his nonsense. But look at Tavistock, look at what's happened in Europe.
I mean, they ignore everything in the UK, which is where he's from. They ignore all of it. They closed down the youth gender clinic in the UK because they said there was insufficient evidence that any of this actually helped children, and some evidence that it harms them. But if you've been all in on it, these people are never going to admit they were wrong. They never are. They're never going to admit they were wrong because they've harmed children. And when I talk to people that are on the quote unquote other side, I'm always astonished at how little they actually know.
Right.
They don't
I am
know
too.
Anything.
Yeah.
They don't know anything. They just lean into insults and slurs. You know, I did a debate earlier this year at CU Boulder. And I was nervous and really overprepared. You know, I'm not a debater. And the guy came in, and just from the outset, he started with calling me names, Christian white nationalist. I said, I'm a Jewish atheist from the very beginning. And so his whole argument was just to smear me, and he couldn't do that. None of the, it's like he hadn't done any research on me or who I am up front. And he sort of ended up conceding almost every point I made by the end.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
And by the end, he basically just stopped calling me names and said, well, why can't we just be nice?
Okay, there we go.
That's what amounted
really
to. And I said, I am being nice to the girls. So that's my whole goal with the brand, is try to kind of flip the perspective to say, this isn't kind or inclusive. You know, the mainstream media wants us to look at these boys who are cheating, in my opinion, and feel sorry for them. And I want everybody to look at the girls and say, these girls have trained their whole lives. They deserve a fair shot. They deserve fair competition. They deserve safety. They deserve privacy in the locker room. And so that's my mission, is to get people to kind of refocus on the girls and the women.
I love it. And I just blasted out on my X account, at Mark Rudin, KFTK, the Inc. magazine story on Jen. Jen, thanks for coming on this afternoon. Great piece. And I appreciate it, as always.
Thank you for having me.
Yep, take care. All right, well, Frank Cusimano's with us here on a Monday afternoon. All we're going to hear from the national media this week is Diego Pavia. Diego Pavia is the best quarterback on the planet, and I love that. Have all the attention on Vanderbilt, Frank, and then go in there to Nashville and pull a shocker. How about that narrative for you?
I love it, Mark. That sounds perfect. And remember, in all of this hype and hoopla of the Commodores, they are a team that won 2 games 2 years ago. So I'm not denying that Clark Lee's done an unbelievable job and Pavia is really good. But this is, we're the Missouri Tigers who've won 21 games the last 2 years, who always win one-score games, and who, since Coach Drink has arrived, the best fourth-quarter FBS comeback team in America. That's pretty impressive.
Mark was so excited about the upcoming game that he just completely forgot to ask about the huge double overtime win that they had this weekend. So, Frank, share with me your thoughts.
We're so lucky. We're so lucky. But we needed that. We needed that.
Yeah, what did you take from the win this weekend?
Well, there's a line in a famous movie, Frankenstein, where the famous phrase is two words, it's alive, it's alive. Well, that's what happened. I mean, the Missouri Tigers kept their college football playoff hopes alive. You don't win with style points, you win with beating the other team on the scoreboard, and that's what they did. And when they had to have it, like with all the Drinks teams, they came through in the fourth quarter. You know, I was in the press box in Columbia a couple of weeks ago when they played South Carolina, and there's an Atlanta Falcons scout there. And I said, who's the best NFL prospect on this Missouri team? And he said, Zion Young. And we saw what Zion Young did at the end of that game and in overtime. He was a one-man wrecking crew. You cannot block him. And when Bo Prabula had to make a play, he made a play. When Kevin Coleman had to make a play. He made a play. It was not pretty, but we'll take a victory. And let me tell you something else. Yes, Howard Richards was with me all morning today, and he said that's the best defense in the SEC. I don't care what their record is. I don't care what their offense is. They got dudes. And that was a really good defensive team.
Also, not only that, but I had a personal friend who was there. I don't know if you've ever been to Auburn. I have not. But he said, and he's been to other SEC schools, he says he's never seen an atmosphere like that. So you're playing against an exceptional defense and a home field crowd that is just going nuts. So I'll take the win, and then I'll take all the attention on Vanderbilt this week because a lot of it's not going to be on Mizzou. But let's see if we can, you know, snag a victory down in Nashville. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, can you imagine, by the way, like the hype down there with the game day crew coming and their best record in 75 years. Yeah, this Missouri's just going to be an afterthought going into this. And you're right, Mark. It's a good strategy. That's the way it could work out really well for Mizzou.
Frank, the Blues got another good win over the weekend, beating the Dallas Stars. Jimmy Snuggerud continues to look really sharp. What are you seeing from the Blues early in the year?
Well, what I saw on Saturday night was Jordan Binnington said, enough is enough. These 13 goals allowed in the first two games, that's not us, and I'm going to put on a show. He had a couple of saves, some point-blank range on Saturday night that were out of sight, and then Jordan Kyrou looked like the most skilled player that he is. I mean, look, Kyrou's not your best player, Robert Thomas is, but Kyrou is your most skilled. He had a couple of moments Saturday that were just breathtaking, and it's interesting because before the game, Coach Montgomery said, we need him to play better. We need him to play like he's capable of playing, and he really came through.
He doesn't have any more hair to pull out of the top of his head, but Brian Daboll must have felt sick to his stomach and still does. What a comeback by Denver in that game against the Giants yesterday.
Yeah, it's just insane when you think 33 points in the fourth quarter and the only quarterback in Bo Nix to ever score two touchdowns running and two touchdowns throwing in one quarter after Bo Nix looked like the worst quarterback on the planet Earth for three quarters. So that game will probably seal the deal for Daboll unless, like, Nix would have won a ton of games in a row. But he was on, you know, shaky ground to begin with, and you just can't lose a game
like that. It reminded me of that, you know, the Chiefs game. Remember when they had the big lead and the Colts beat them back 10 years ago? And that was like a lead of that sort.
Oh. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Chiefs. Reports of their demise, greatly exaggerated. They got their full team back, and they just look magnificent. Patrick Mahomes this morning is already now the odds-on favorite to win the MVP, and they're only 4-3.
Well, you could tell the difference. Look, Rashee Rice gets touches right away, and there's just a difference in the offense because of his presence. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Frank, we'll talk on Friday afternoon with another Mizzou preview. Have a great
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.